Our next guest today is Mike Strain, Director of Economic Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute, which is a public policy think tank based in Washington, D.C. Mike oversees their work surrounding economic policy and the financial markets, among other areas. Mike is also a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. He's been published by the New York Times, Washington Post. He appears on CNBC and NPR. Simply an excellent all-around resource on the economy and also the political landscape as well. Mike is now joining us via phone from Washington, D.C. Mike, Happy New Year to you. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Happy New Year to you as well. It's great to be back on.
So, Mike, there's a lot we can cover today. Let's maybe start with your thoughts on the economy right now. There's been a lot of talk recently about an economic slowdown, that perhaps we're closer to the end of one of the longest expansions on record. But, you know, look, if you look at some of the key data points, manufacturing, housing, while they are rolling over a little bit, they still look pretty strong overall. We, of course, have the blowout jobs report on Friday, 312,000 jobs created in December, wages increased. So what's your view on the overall health of the economy right now?
I think we are transitioning from the middle of the economic expansion to the end of the economic expansion. I don't think we are at the end, and we may not even be in the end for some period of time. You know, you want to look at a variety of indicators, and I think that financial markets are suggesting that there's going to be a slowing. We're seeing credit spreads increase. We're seeing some softening in commodity prices. We're seeing investors demanding higher yields for shorter-term bonds than for bonds with longer terms. We're also seeing some slowdown in China that may kind of come here to the United States to some degree. At the same time, the labor market is still adding a really healthy number of jobs every month. The unemployment rate is still very low, and there's not much evidence that labor supply constraints are binding. Household balance sheets are in great shape. The overall balance between private sector spending and private sector income is quite reasonable. You know, kind of given all that, I think we're still in a very healthy economy, but it's an economy that will start to decelerate, and I expect to see deceleration in 2019, but I do not expect to see recession in 2019.
Mike, I think sort of backdropping all of this right now is the Fed, right? We've seen President Trump tweeting about the Fed, financial markets debating whether or not the Fed is being too aggressive in terms of rolling assets off their balance sheet and raising interest rates. Now, I've said previously, I thought the Fed did a brilliant job navigating through the financial crisis and really the 10 years or so since. But do you think they're getting it right now, or do you think perhaps they're making a policy error?
Well, I think they're in the process of trying to decide what they're going to do. And so I think it was reasonable to expect, you know, say four rate hikes in 2019. And that's what, you know, a lot of people thought was going to happen, and the Fed was kind of signaling that would be what could happen. You know, but then we saw a significant decline in equity prices in the month of December. We're seeing a tightening of financial conditions. We're seeing the yield curve creep up on an inversion. Chairman Powell over the weekend at the annual American Economic Association conference indicated that you know he sees what's happening and that he is certainly open to a slower pace of tightening than we would have thought we were going to see in November. So I think the Fed is aware that you know recessions don't die of old age, but they're often murdered by monetary policy. The Fed's aware that kind of a soft landing is very difficult to navigate. And, you know, Chairman Powell is still pretty new in the job, but it looks to me at this point like he's pretty serious about letting the data speak and guide monetary policy actions, and that he is willing to kind of update his views pretty quickly, given new economic indicators.
Mike, it's Connor. Besides the Fed, it seems like a lot of concern centers around China. And you mentioned this earlier, but it certainly appears like the economy of China is slowing and what that impact might have on the rest of the world. And then add to that, we've got the ongoing trade disputes, right, the tariff war going on with China, and obviously negotiations are happening today on that front. The question is this: how big of a risk do you think China is to the U.S. economy? I mean, are we now in a situation where if China sneezes, the world catches a cold, like it, you know, has always been said about the U.S. economy?
Yeah, so I think that China, a significant slowdown in China certainly could reduce our rate of GDP growth. I wouldn't expect a slowdown of the magnitude that we're likely to see, including potentially even a recession, to necessarily throw the United States itself into a recession. We import foreign slowdowns, but we don't import the full strength of a foreign slowdown. I think what is more significant or a potentially larger risk in my mind is the uncertainty surrounding trade policy with China and what that will do to investor confidence and whether or not that can weigh on investment. And in addition, we don't know how that's going to end, and that situation could very conceivably escalate. If we put significant tariffs on a really large share of our imports, that could have a pretty serious effect on the U.S. economy. But the kind of simple situation where China slows down and we and that drives a slowdown in the United States, I'm less concerned about that. Kind of a rule of thumb is a 1 percentage point decline in foreign growth will reduce GDP growth by 0.2 percentage points. So, China's a big, it's certainly not the entire rest of the world, and we should think about importing maybe like 1/5 of a foreign slowdown, not the full slowdown.
Our guest is Mike Strain, Director of Economic Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Mike, I want to spend a few minutes here wading into politics and the potential economic impact. And let's maybe start with a government shutdown. Of course, we have President Trump delivering a primetime address tonight. Do you think this is all about getting a wall built, or is there more here? And I guess more importantly, could this cause any longer term economic concern?
I think it is about getting a wall built, and the president is very committed to delivering on this campaign promise, and he thinks that the current shutdown is an opportunity for him to deliver on that promise. I think that it is difficult to see how this standoff resolves. I think that it seems that the Democrat controlled House is very committed to not funding a wall. It seems that that the president is very committed to having funding for a wall, and neither side really has an obvious incentive to blink first. It's possible the president will try to use his emergency powers over national security to spend money on the wall without a congressional appropriation. That could put us into some dicey constitutional territory, and I would expect the Democrat-controlled House to react to that very differently than a Republican-controlled House would have. It's possible that the president reaches a deal, of course. That deal would probably take the form of the president saying, "I got the wall," and the Democrats saying, "No, you didn't." But, we'd at least have the government open, and both sides could kind of declare victory. I'm not excessively concerned about the impact of this standoff on the economy as a whole, except insofar as it signals dysfunction in the government. You know, we've had a very healthy economy for the first 2 years of the Trump administration. The administration's economic team has not been tested with a recession, and investors, for the most part, have not been concerned about an imminent recession and how this team would handle that. I think if we see evidence during this episode that the administration really is not stable, and if we see evidence during this episode that that the administration has a hard time with hard situations, if that perception hardens, and if that combines with things like a significant foreign slowdown, things like an inverted yield curve, things like continued decline in equity values, things like you know, a couple months in a row of bad jobs reports, you know, then that could start to shake confidence in how well this team can do in a slowdown, and that could have a real effect. But in terms of the direct effect of this partial shutdown, I wouldn't view that as a significant risk to the economy.
Mike, so let's talk about the Democrats now controlling the House, like you alluded to a couple times. Does this change anything in terms of the economic landscape? Could we maybe see this infrastructure bill that's been talked about for so long, or any other initiatives that could have some sort of economic impact, whether that's positive or negative?
You know, I think it's hard to know. My kind of read on that is that we will not see any significant legislation. You know, the unfortunate reality is that Washington is you know, very polarized right now about the president. And members of Congress have to go home and face their constituents. And I think it will be hard for a lot of Democrats to go home and to face their constituents and say, you know, I worked with the president on an infrastructure bill. You know, even if it's a good bill, there's just not, in my reading at this moment, there's not the political space that you would need for that. I don't see the political space for that increasing. If anything, I see the political space for that decreasing as Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation starts to wrap up, as this dispute over the border wall continues to drag on, as we get closer to the 2020 presidential election, as Democrats who are interested in running for president start to announce their candidacies. You know, I think the political space for compromise on a large policy initiative will shrink and not grow. So I would not bet on any sort of major legislation passing.
Mike, lastly, I want to ask you about wealth and income inequality in the U.S. I know this is something that you've written quite a bit about, and I think many would agree this had an impact on the 2016 election, right? There was a growing number of people who felt they'd been left behind, and so they wanted some sort of change. Do you think this has gotten any better, or has it gotten worse? And do you expect this to play into the political landscape as we look ahead to the 2020 election?
You know, I think inequality is kind of a difficult thing to assess in terms of its impact on politics. You know, we had significantly widening. Inequality was increasing significantly during the 1980s and 1990s, but it wasn't really a live political issue. Certainly not like it has been over the past 10 years. And, you know, perhaps one reason for that is that even though households at the top were receiving income gains faster than households at the bottom, and so the gap between the top and the bottom was increasing, inequality was increasing, even though inequality was increasing in the 80s and 90s, you know, there was broader and faster income growth across the distribution. We've actually seen a significant slowing of inequality growth over the past 5 years. You could look at the data over the past decade, and you could even argue that the growth of inequality has stagnated. But that's not the sense that you get from the public debate. And, you know, again, I think, you know, part of the reason is because, you know, even if inequality has been growing very slowly, if at all, it's still large, you know, still there's still more inequality than there has been. That could be part of it. But I think part of it, too, is that there's been a frustration about wage gains, and there's been a frustration about income gains, regardless of what's happening to the size of that gap. So, you know, my guess would be that, you know, as wages continue to accelerate, as household income continues to grow faster, that we'll see less concern about inequality, you know, regardless of what's actually happening with the inequality statistics.
Well, Mike, we'll have to leave it there. As always, excellent perspective on the economy and political landscape. Really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Yes, thank you very much. Happy New Year.
That was Mike Strain, Director of Economic Policy Studies at the American Enterprise Institute. And you can find his work at AEI.org. And you can follow him on Twitter at Michael R. Strain.